Hello and welcome in to some extra special, extra late Chiefs talk here on Sports Radio 810. It is this Friday evening, sending you into a weekend that means a lot for the Kansas City Chiefs. Or does it? That's where we will start tonight's show here in just a little bit. I'm Josh Abriscoe, obviously here with you after some college football action here on 810. Thanks for hanging out with us on this late evening show. I'm always happy to talk about the Chiefs, and I always like a little pregame preview look ahead. But this week was one of the only weeks, maybe the first week this season, where I found myself on Monday going, all right, Sunday was fun, what's next? Because I know the answer to that question, and what's next for the Kansas City Chiefs is the Patriots coming up here on Sunday. And you can always hear me on Almost Entirely Sports here on 810. If you've missed any AES, or if you're saying, oh, you know what, maybe I'll like this guy, you can go ahead and check it all out at Almost Entirely Sports, wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of weeknights here on 810. But in this week, we turned away from the Raiders game quite quickly because it was a decisive win, it was a weird win, and this next game had all of the shine. And a concept that I was exploring earlier this week, culminating in a column up on The Athletic, if you'd like to check that out, if you're a subscriber of The Athletic, the digging that I did to flesh out all of the thoughts for that story was all with the idea in my head of what happens if the Chiefs win this game? And what happens if the Chiefs lose this game? Now, from the Patriots' perspective, you know, this game means, I'll argue, less. Would they rather get a victory over the Chiefs here? Absolutely. Would it be a really rough look for them to go into the playoffs after losing to their three biggest rivals in the AFC earlier in the year, losing to the Ravens, and then last week losing to the Texans, and then this week possibly losing to the Chiefs? Would that be a rough go for the Patriots? Would that be a tough thing to keep in mind? Then headed to another game with the Bills here coming up. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Patriots don't want to lose this game. But the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs have more on the line. Now, they could lose this game, and their season isn't over by any means. But right now, there's a little bit of wiggle room in terms of perception for the Chiefs. And I imagine that there's some amount of it in the locker room as well. I mean, it's a confident group. I'm not saying that they lose this game and then all check out. I don't think that would happen. But to be going to Foxborough in December, obviously not a playoff game, but a meaningful regular season one, to go there and to bring the full force of what this team could do, to bring the full power on both sides of the ball, where the secondary has been performing so well, and where the offense has actually had some sizable issues these last few weeks, to take all of that to New England and to what feels like a fragile Patriots team. It's like in a lot of old like arcade games, whenever the boss gets really low on health, you know, they're just, the whole character starts flashing. The Patriots kind of feel like that right now. And maybe they're not. Maybe you knock out the boss and then they hop back up with a full bar of health again. That happens sometimes. And maybe that'll happen with New England. I don't know. But whenever you look at the specifics of a Chiefs team that has had good moments but rarely had a good full game on both sides of the ball, and whenever you look at the state of the conference, where the Texans have lost some games, they also beat the Chiefs head-to-head and then beat the Patriots. The Ravens haven't lost in a while. They did lose the Chiefs and then also the Browns, but then they beat the Patriots. The Patriots lose just to those two teams, but almost all of their wins are against bad to okay teams, with the exception of the Bills early in the season, before I think that team had fully realized as a functional, competitive organization. And we'll still see about the Patriots and Bills one more time. But with all of the open space in the AFC, the Chiefs could prove something on Sunday. And honestly, I think they will prove something on Sunday. And that's not a prediction yet, at least. But I think that no matter how this game goes, there will be a narrative essentially handed to us as that game goes to final. I imagine most people listening now know, but if you don't, Brad Porter and I do the post-game show after Chiefs games here on 810. And it's one of those weird instances where I'm already looking ahead to the post-game show to think, what is the story going to be? And I'm just sort of going through this ridiculous hypothetical exercise because I'm trying to understand what I'm looking for here and what I expect. And so when I look at, all right, so the game has ended, now what's the story? If the Chiefs win this game with in any sort of convincing fashion, it is going to be very easy, very popular, and I would argue very likely accurate to begin discussing the Chiefs as one of the teams that is a peer with the Patriots, Ravens, Texans atop the AFC. Now, the Bills are going to have a chance to get in there with their games against the Ravens and the Patriots. The Ravens, I think, could... they've got some wiggle room. They belong there. Maybe the Patriots get shook if the Chiefs beat them. Maybe they drop down a spot. The Texans, again, have lost some games, but they have beaten the Chiefs and the Patriots. That's a hard thing to be able to do. And so, if they win this game on Sunday, I think we're going to stop hearing as much about seeding in the AFC. And, you know, you could say that's at play also. The two seed right now, the Chiefs have an outside shot at. I'm not holding my breath for it. And if everything shakes out well for them this week and next, then we can start talking about what the Chiefs can do there that they control. Right now, I'm not super optimistic just because, I mean, they cost themselves by losing to the Titans. If they went 2-2, or certainly 3-1 against the AFC South, they would be in a spot right now for a bye week. But they didn't, so we're here instead. But I think they could cement themselves as seeding be damned, extra week of rest versus playing a game be damned. I think the Chiefs would solidify their standing as a completely legitimate contender in the AFC, and also probably the quote-unquote upset pick that would be easy for people to hop on. The offense hasn't been as good as it was last year. The defense has been much better. And I know that if there's a Ravens fan listening somewhere, they will take offense to this, but I don't think there's a Goliath in the AFC. Everyone is beatable, and I would say would fall on a relatively even playing field of those four. If the Chiefs lose this game, everything I just said goes the other direction, right? Chiefs couldn't beat the Patriots again. Patrick Mahomes couldn't beat the Patriots again. It's Ravens, Patriots, and then Texans, and then Chiefs. And that's just how it sets up, and that's also probably how it's going to shake out of the playoffs. They had an opportunity to make a statement, didn't do it. You're 3 or 4 at best. See you next year. Or at least see you in the playoffs, when you are going to have a very hard time convincing people that you should be something like favored or even a small underdog. Whenever you go back to Foxborough in January, go to Baltimore, I don't know, you might be an upset pick for the Bills to come into Arrowhead or for Duck Hodges to beat you. And, I mean, there's also a fair counter-argument to all of this. Like, so wait, what does the narrative matter? You say this game matters for narrative reasons. Why? For me, I think that it would be confusing players with robots to not acknowledge confidence stepping back into the picture. Feeling like the bully instead of the bullied. If they go to New England and bully the Patriots around, I think that changes the aura around this team in a way that, sure, affects how people talk about them. But I have to also imagine in a way that affects how the Chiefs feel about themselves and their own spot in this league. It's better to feel like a favorite and a legitimate contender rather than a mirage and a outside shot pretender. And so I think that this game matters more in the story than it does in the standings. But we are generally all kind of in agreement that the story does matter here. And if it's a close game either way, or if the Chiefs only win by a field goal or something, if Brady looks pretty good against the Chiefs' defense and Mahomes is held to looking pretty good against the Patriots' defense, then, you know, then this becomes the first matchup between a couple of theoretically heavyweight boxers. And that's fine. But the Chiefs could deliver pretty big hit to the Patriots. Again, they could lose every game for the rest of the season, and they're going to be hard to pick against in the playoffs for a lot of people because we've seen it so many times. But if they had to go into the AFC playoffs, having lost to their three biggest competitors, and then the story is that they have been propped up by a soft schedule. I mean, I not only do I think that's a story, I think that that's very likely the truth that we would be looking at there. So we're going to learn something on Sunday, and the story is going to be interesting. I don't know that the story has the power to totally change the direction and the path of the entire AFC and the rest of the Chiefs season. I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. But it definitely has the power to be really, really interesting. And I'm really excited for this game. Here's a huge curveball for you. All that being said, this might be the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era with the Chiefs when I've said this sentence out loud. I think I'm more excited to see the Chiefs' defense on the field in this game than I am for the offense to be on the field in this game. I'm sorry if anyone just drove into a ditch, but I mean it. And maybe, I don't know if it's a confidence or if it's a hopefulness or if it's a little bit of both. It's probably a little bit of both. But with some of the concerns we've had with the offense, and I'll get into some of that later, we'll hear from Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid what they said this week. We'll hear some audio and everything. But in terms of just what I want to see, because listen, I mean, I've never tried to fool anybody. I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I grew up a Chiefs fan, and I want them to be successful. But I also just sort of have a morbid, perhaps, curiosity about what it's going to look like whenever the Chiefs' defense is given this specific opponent. Because the secondary has been more than trending in the right direction. They've been stampeding in the right direction. The defensive line is imperfect, and we know that Frank Clark has missed the last couple of days of practice with an illness. after leaving the last game against the Raiders with a shoulder injury. And is that related to the pinched nerve? I don't know. But the interior defensive line, Colin Saunders and Derek Nnadi and Mike Pennell, all stepping up and improving. Obviously, Chris Jones is in there a good chunk of the time. Sometimes he's playing outside now. That's been excellent. The outside hasn't been quite as impactful, but whenever we've seen healthy Frank Clark, and I don't know if we can count on it or not, I don't know if it's going to be consistent or not, but when we've seen healthy Frank Clark, he's been a force. Alex Okafor is back. I was going to say working back just because getting up to that speed is tough. Kendall Fuller is back, but also getting up to speed back in the secondary. I've been buying in on Spagnuolo since mid-season at the latest, because I feel like, I mean, I was in on some level in mini camp, listening to him talk and listening to Anthony Hitchens and Charvarius Ward talk about the improvements from last year into this one. But with the results on the field, like, my confidence had really bloomed around mid-season, if not sooner, as the consistency was beginning to come together. And it wasn't that this defense is going to single-handedly win the Chiefs games over and over and over again, but it's the steady improvement and it's the achievement of a level of success that would have won the Chiefs the Super Bowl last year. And so to see that progression has left me very optimistic. And it means that the offense honestly needs to keep up their end of the bargain at this point. So will the defense hold on to that level? I genuinely think so. Follow-up question there might be, will they do it against Tom Brady? That's what I'm excited about. I think they will, but I don't know. Like, and what do you do here against the Patriots? Well, offensively, they look very, very different than the last time we saw them. Not only did they have Gronk last time, Rob Gronkowski allows you to do so much else with your offense because you don't have to account for him. Julian Edelman is an infuriating football player to watch play against your team. Because no matter where he is, it just seems like it's 3rd and 8. Here's Julian Edelman for 11. Edelman for 11 over the middle feels like it will haunt me through the rest of my days. But whenever he's the first thing to account for, bully him at the line. Give him all of the attention in the world and don't let him beat you 11 yards at a time. James White out of the backfield is like this team's second best offensive weapon. Edelman and White are 1-2. That's not a disastrous assignment for this defense. They've started to figure out the coverage of running backs thing. I think we could see Dan Sorensen just man on him for a good chunk of this game. And then if you can, even if it means devoting a lot of resources to those two guys, if you can keep the two of them limited, you can be aggressive. You could be almost reckless in how you pressure Tom Brady and then dare him to beat you over the top and to beat you downfield. And I'd be happy for the Chiefs to get to that point where they say, all right, this game, at least defensively, will come down to if Tom Brady can beat us over the top. I don't think he can. And even if he can get the ball there, his weapons are not built for that. This is an offense that is for Julian Edelman and James White and Tom Brady with a very different arm than he had earlier in his career. He's still a cyborg, you know, pre-snap. You're still going to have a hard time fooling him. But pressure isn't fooling him. Pressure is knocking him off his spot. Generally, pretty well harassing him. If you can pull that off, his game is going to get a little bit hectic. And Tom Brady's not at a place right now where hectic is what he wants to be playing. So at the risk of sounding like an idiot in a few days, I think this is a relatively simple matchup for the Chiefs defense. I say that with every word as a question mark because I don't know. I don't like saying that about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels' offense. But if the Patriots beat the Chiefs with Tom Brady deep balls, I'll be really surprised. Like, I don't feel bad about saying it that way. And I think that there's a real, you know, there's a real difficulty in making sure they really have to go that direction. But I don't think they're going to run the ball down the Chiefs' throat on the ground. I don't think that they're going to be able to dink and dunk it. Because I think that's the first thing you have to account for in this game. Even like when you look at what the Ravens are very different. But, you know, the Ravens gave up 4.4 yards a carry, 74 yards rushing in the game. It was Julian Edelman for 10 yards, or 10 carries, receptions, good God. 10 receptions for 89 yards, Mohamed Sanu for 81. And then James White was limited to two. He had a 30-yard long and then another relatively long one outside of that. But if Mohamed Sanu beats you, and Tom Brady is looking for him downfield, okay, take those shots. The Chiefs secondary is in good shape right now. Go ahead and let Brady try to get to Sanu downfield a couple of times. He'll catch a few. The Chiefs should also catch a few whenever that's the target. And if it's more short stuff for Sanu, again, kind of like it was against the Ravens, okay. You can plan for this. And you can allow your corners to keep this offense limited. I don't think that's extremely outlandish. Sanu's longest reception in that game, by the way, was 15 yards downfield. 15 yards total. They're not going to beat you in huge explosive chunks. I just don't see that anymore. Look at the Texans game. There's a lot to learn in these matchups where the Texans... Well, I'll talk about the Chiefs offense in a minute. Because I do want to talk about the Texans offense. But they ran it for 5 yards a carry. They ran it a lot against Houston. 29 times for 145 yards. And then through the air, Edelman 6 for 106, James White 8 for 98, and then it was Jacoby Myers. Mohamed Sanu was 3 for 14. I'm not afraid of Philip Dorsett. The Patriots know they don't have the talent that they've had around Brady in years past. And he's starting to look a little bit older. A lot older, really. He's statistically been Mitch Trubisky the last several weeks. He's smart. And if you give him a freebie, he'll take it. If you give him a freebie, he'll be able to convert it. Don't give him any freebies. Make the Patriots work for these yards. Make them try to get big chunks instead of getting them all 6 and 7 yards at a time. Let them call that bluff. I think that's what the Chiefs are going to do. I think you try to pressure him with all you've got. I think you genuinely bring real-life aggressiveness. You keep an eye on Edelman. And really, you probably keep 3 or 4 eyes on Julian Edelman. And that at 3 would be, you know, one guy covering him and then somebody else keeping an eye, maybe some split attention. The Chiefs need a chameleon. The Chiefs need a corner and a chameleon in this one. And you just say, hey, Dan, hey, Dirty Dan, you follow James White around all night. he goes to get a drink on the Patriots sideline, just follow him over there. Just follow him around all night. And the other thing is that I think that, again, overly simplistic, I'm sure. But I think there's a relatively clear game plan there for the Chiefs. And I think they can pull it off. I really do. So I'm excited. I am excited for the Chiefs to go to New England and play this game. Totally losable. Maybe they don't keep up with Edelman. Maybe Brady does have a couple of long conversions. Maybe, you know, Juan Thornhill misses a tackle and a 12-yard Julian Edelman reception goes for 60 and a touchdown. Maybe. That's all possible. But I think the odds are actually in the Chiefs' favor there, which is a crazy thing to say. But that's the direction of the Chiefs' defense and of the Patriots' offense as of late, and I'm grateful for it. We'll take a break here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Josh Briscoe, giving you a little extra Chiefs coverage to wrap up your evening as we get you ready for Chiefs and Patriots here on Sports Radio 810.
Kansas City's hometown sports station, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Radio 810 here. I am Joshua Briscoe, giving you more Chiefs talk on this Friday evening. Thanks for joining us. If you want to get in touch with the show or me, or really, I mean, yeah, it's just me. You can tweet at JB Briscoe on Twitter, or you want to get in touch with the whole station at Sports Radio 810. If you've got any Chiefs questions, comments, concerns, gifts, I love a good gif, at JB Briscoe on Twitter. And I'll be not only tweeting all the time throughout the week, which is something I'm always perpetually doing, but also, especially on game day, the tweet deck columns absolutely explode, and it's always a lot of fun. So you can follow me on Twitter, at JB Briscoe, for more opportunities to chat Chiefs together. I always enjoy it. And one thing, whenever we've been talking this week in with who we've had on the show, we talked to Seth Kaiser, we talked to Matt Derrick, we talked to Ryan Tracy of The Athletic, Chiefs Digest, and Locked On Chiefs, respectively, from each of those three. You've probably heard the offensive line brought up more this week than, I don't know, any time in recent memory for the Kansas City Chiefs, and part of it has to do with the unit as a whole. And I don't just mean the five blockers or even just the five blockers plus the tight ends. I also mean Patrick Mahomes. This has been really, really interesting, but it's also been really, really evident. There was a thing that Mahomes started doing a little bit earlier in the year that it maybe done it some last year, but it started becoming kind of a thing earlier this season where he would drop back and he would just sort of keep dropping back, and then eventually He flings the football while moving backwards off and off of one foot. And it's not the mechanics that you're looking for in your average quarterback, but Mahomes is not your average quarterback. And so I'm not filled with rage by any means that he does that to bail out every once in a while. I hate that that's something he's felt the need to do as much as he has. And in some instances, it's deserved because it's real pressure. And in some instances, it hasn't been. And so whenever you've looked, I'm sure, at what the Chiefs have been doing as far as protecting Patrick Mahomes, and especially last week, the interior pressure was a genuine problem. And then Mahomes' movement in the pocket has been a genuine problem. Partially because, you know, whenever you bail out backwards in a pocket, your tackles lose sight of where you are, and so it changes how they block, and Mahomes has been doing a lot of bailing out backwards. But whenever the pocket's breaking down, especially for Patrick Mahomes, just get away, make a play, do some freak show thing that only this particular MVP can do. That's part of the gig for Patrick Mahomes, and I absolutely love it whenever that part of his game shows up. I genuinely just think it's one of the most thrilling things I've seen in the sport ever. But I don't want that to become the thing we always expect from Patrick Mahomes. The narrative that you may have heard mostly from people who aren't specifically covering the Chiefs, as far as I can tell, because if you're paying attention, you get this. Mahomes does not have problems in the pocket. Like, he's not, it's not that he's as great out of structure, but it is a subpar quarterback whenever he stays in the pocket. It's simply false. In fact, what I'm clamoring for is the ability for him to stay in the pocket a little more often, and part of it is also on Mahomes. There have been some moments this season of phantom pressure, of seeing ghosts, if I could put it in air quotes, like Sam Darnold did. You feel pressure that's not there, and it can cost you in terms of where you move around, or in terms of dropping your eyes, or in terms of getting rid of the ball sooner than you need to. That's a really tough thing. I mean, Alex Smith suffered from seeing ghosts all his whole time in Kansas City, especially more towards the end. It started getting really evident. You'd see his eyes drop. And I haven't seen Mahomes dropping his eyes as often, but I mean, even close to as often. Like, that's an understatement. But whenever I've seen it happening, I haven't really seen Mahomes giving up on plays, dropping his eyes or whatever. But I've seen it many times over where he bails and it just makes the play harder. That's really it. It's not that it kills the player, ruins the player, makes it impossible. There have just been a good handful of times where you've seen, either due to real pressure or due to the expectation of pressure, which also still reflects on the offensive line poorly, that you're expecting pressure that often. But in either of those instances, you've seen times where the play's just been made more difficult by the pressure, again, either real or perceived. And earlier this week, whenever Mahomes talked to us in the media, he was asked about the movement of the offensive line and of himself in the pocket back against the Raiders. And he was asked, he ends up taking ownership of some of the larger question stuff, but specifically, he was asked if all of that movement was more out of design or out of necessity against Oakland.
Yeah, I think it was a mixture of both. I mean, I feel like we had a game plan where we felt like we could move the pocket and make stuff happen on the perimeter, and then there was times where I kind of scrambled and tried to make stuff happen as well. But, I mean, it just kind of goes with the game plan and how we feel that we can attack opposing defenses.
Since returning to the lineups, how comfortable do you feel stepping up and with the pocket? I know, obviously, probably a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel confident. I mean, we've kind of gotten our whole O-line group back now, and so I feel like I've gotten better and better at stepping up. I think as seasons go on, I kind of mentioned it during the bye week, I feel like there's sometimes I drift back, and I just have to keep working on keeping hitching in the pocket whenever I have a clean pocket so I can make those throws downfield.
It's that drifting, hitching thing. That's what we've been talking about for a little bit. It's not that he's unaware of that as an issue. Where, again, drifting is maybe even more accurate than kind of the idea of bailing out of the pocket backwards. Like, I think back to the Niners game last year. We threw that touchdown that was just, like, life-changing. It was an incredible play. Life-changing might be a bit much, but it was a hell of a play. You can talk about bailing out that way. But the drifting issue is an issue. And so we talked about hitching back up into the pocket, and it's, I mean, to me, that is a discussion about more intentional footwork and being careful to and being mindful of your positioning, again, in the pocket and just in the field in general. So some of it, and Mahomes was never going to say this part, so because some of it, I would say most of it still is about the actual pressure in the interior offensive line. That's a legitimate thing that legitimately has cost the Chiefs in multiple scenarios. But for Mahomes to at least eliminate his element of that would be really helpful from here on out. That's something also we talked about earlier today on Times Art on The Athletic with me and Nate Taylor and Seth Kaiser. They're on 810, obviously, all the time, and they both wrote about the offensive line from a couple different perspectives this week that I thought was really, really good. So if you're looking for a little more on the offensive line talk, I might not give you any more of it here tonight, but if you're looking for more, I would encourage you to go check out their articles. A couple other things from Mahomes, specifically looking to the Patriots. Speaking of Nate Taylor, he asked Mahomes about the protections that the Chiefs will be working with in light of what the Chiefs learned from the two times they played the Patriots in 2019. And listen to how Mahomes answers that, but also expands on some other things that they're looking for against New England.
Yeah, it's definitely it's helped me out even to this season in general. The way they've presented different things that maybe we didn't expect or that they kind of did that were unscouted looks, and being able to adjust on the fly. I mean, it's a team that they're going to have stuff that we necessarily didn't prepare for, because they're going to do stuff that they haven't done maybe in 2 or 3 years. And so we've watched the tape, we've went back and tried to look at everything that they could possibly do. But whenever we get these unscouted looks, it's about me finding the best way to get us into the best play and not take these negative plays and still keep the offense moving.
Can you explain, whether it was back in October last year or even in the SEC Championship game, what that feeling is like as a quarterback when you know it's a good defense and you see something that, oh, I haven't seen yet? What's that feeling like for you as you're trying to get the snap off but also get the team in the right position?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to try to quiet your mind, I think, is the biggest thing. I mean, you have to understand that you can't be perfect every single time, even though you want to be. And you have to just find ways to get the ball out of your hand. I mean, the good thing about this team is we have so many playmakers that I don't have to be perfect every single time. I can just get the ball to guys like Tyreek or Kelce or Sammy or all these guys, and that they can make plays happen. And so that's something that I think I learned after the first time I played these guys, where I was maybe holding the ball a little bit too long, and I try to adjust to that when we play them in the playoffs. And whenever we play them this year, I'll try to do the same things.
I think that's a really interesting, really honest answer for a couple of reasons. One, the unscouted looks thing, he mentions it twice in there. He says they're going to do stuff maybe they haven't done in 2 or 3 years. The thing that I wish, frankly, like we as media and also you as fans had a better understanding of, it's something that I am really trying to be better at myself to try to help share some of what I've learned, is the cerebral nature of a football game and preparing for a football game. It's really complicated, folks. I mean, there's a lot going on. There are a lot of moving pieces. And it's one of the things that makes Patrick Mahomes excellent. Eric Bieniemy actually talked about that yesterday. Yeah, days are running together. But whenever you look at the amount of work that goes into preparing for any team, it expands so much whenever it is the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady Patriots. For the defensive side, I mean, like, you've had the same mastermind over that team now for a very long time. And obviously there's some stuff from the beginning of his career he'll never use again. But when Bill Belichick isn't going to run out of plays. He's not going to run out of scheming options. He's not going to run out of different looks to show with different little intricacies that can capitalize on just a quarterback who hasn't seen that thing before. I mean, we saw that last year. And so in that answer, and the talking about calming his mind as a quarterback in those situations, realizing that you're seeing a defensive look you haven't seen before, that's almost certainly going to happen against the Patriots. It's just, that's part of it. And then figuring out what you do whenever you see those looks you haven't seen, that's the challenge that you get whenever you're an NFL quarterback. But I think it's pretty clear that you can expect your quarterback to be a little more within himself, I guess, over the course of a game, whenever he is seeing things he expects, whenever he's in a situation he's been in before, even when that situation is being in a spot you haven't been in before against the Patriots, if that makes sense. Playing the Patriots and going, oh God, I haven't seen this, he's done that before, even as the thing he has seen or hasn't seen changes. And so I don't want to, this isn't a litmus test for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's at a point where he has anything to prove. Like, I think that's a little bit of a exaggeration. But similarly to the Chiefs altogether, like, I think he could prove something here. This might be more like the Patriots' view of this game, but if Patrick Mahomes can go into this game and actually, like, be dominant, that's going to ring out over the NFL. It's going to go, wow, remember whenever we talked about Patrick Mahomes being 0-3 against Tom Brady? Then he went out there and he put up 42 against the best defense we've seen them have in a decade? Yeah, that was wild, wasn't it? I would love to see that kind of performance from Mahomes. And I don't know. I don't know if this defense is too good. I don't know if they can overcome all this at once. It's also a really nice opportunity and test for Andy Reid. And so piecing all of that together just creates an absolutely fascinating narrative for this game, which is, you know, one of 50 reasons I'm super excited about it. The other thing from Patrick Mahomes, whenever he talked to us this week, was our very own Todd Lebo asking him about the maybe the most, like, well-known rule of thumb about the Patriots defense. He asked him about how the Patriots can remove an offense's best piece from the equation, and then what the Chiefs can do in response as the Patriots do that, but they can have done over this week in practice to prepare for that kind of challenge, and how they can be putting their best players in a place where they can't be taken away.
Yeah, you have to prepare for whatever they're going to do. If that's going to be doubling Tyreek, doubling Kelce, doubling Samuel, whatever it is, we just have to prepare ourselves to be able to move those guys around and get them open in the best way that we think possible. I think the biggest thing is just taking what's there. And, I mean, if you watch the Texans game, I mean, they were doubling Hopkins a lot, and they were doing stuff to take away him, and Deshaun hit Kenny Stills or Will Fuller. And you just have to take what's there whenever it comes down to it. Obviously, we want to get Tyreek the ball in any way possible, but whenever they do whatever they can to take him away, it's about these other guys stepping up and making plays.
We often kind of joke about how Patrick Mahomes is way too good at quarterback speak and saying nothing for being as new in the league as he is. But I think that checks out what you just heard from him. I was glad that he mentioned the Texans, because that's not saying nothing. Saying, yeah, we looked at what happened last week, which is relatively obvious. But then he mentioned Kenny Stills. I saw that play happen live, and I muttered this to myself in an empty apartment. I thought, what can Kenny Stills do that Mecole Hardman can't? These are fast dudes who can definitely run in a line. Everything else, there are some little differences. But if the Patriots want to double team Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, both, God bless them. Honestly, I hope they do. This is a game where I do look at what Andy Reid will do here, and I am prepared to have a take about his game for better or for worse, because they have not been utilizing Mecole Hardman. They straight up haven't. He should be getting way more run. And if you're looking at a dude with straightaway speed, that as safeties are worried about Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, hey man, let this be the game where you take Mecole Hardman out of the garage a little bit. Because as soon as the Patriots realize they don't have over-the-top help for whoever is supposed to be helping with Mecole Hardman, they're going to have to bail away from somebody else. And so that opens Travis Kelce across the middle, or opens Tyreek Hill deep downfield, wherever that needs to be. The Chiefs have too many weapons to be screwing around with, like, oh, you know, we're just going to keep trotting out DeMarcus Robinson and hope he and Sammy Watkins can win their matchups. They haven't been doing nearly enough of that. And I would like to see a little more creativity, and I'd like to see more of Hardman being thrown out there and put him on the same side. We talked about this with Ryan last night, with Ryan Tracy of Locked On Chiefs, 2 nights ago. If you want to catch that, it's up on the Almost Entirely Sports podcast page. Stack those guys on the same side. Put Hill and Hardman on the same side of the field and let defenses figure out what on earth to do with that. What they can do with that is find a fire extinguisher. Make them shake in their boots. And maybe Andy Reid intends on saving that for playoff action. But if that's the case, like, could you not have used a couple of those? Could you not have shown your hand against the Titans to try to keep the hope of a bye week alive? Maybe you do it in Foxborough now to keep a lesser hope, but still an existing hope of a first-round bye. And you use it to dust the Patriots back off the plate a little bit. I'd be thrilled for that. With an offense this talented, I mean, I think Andy Reid is excellent. I really do. I don't know if you're gonna be able to find someone as generally pro Andy Reid as I am anywhere on a microphone in this city. Honestly, you might find somebody who can be tied with me in enthusiasm, but beating me is going to be difficult, I think. I say this as a hopeful challenge, much more so than a, hey, prove to me that you know something challenge. Andy Reid needs to use all of the weapons in this offense to create the juggernaut and maybe recreate the juggernaut that we saw last year. Part of it, it's about the offensive line. And so working around that is a challenge. Totally understand that. But against the Patriots, you talk about removing one thing. If they devote a lot of resources to removing one thing, this team has other options. And man, Andy Reid could sit down across from me and explain to me 57 reasons that Mecole Hardman's not Tyreek Hill, and I would just sit here in silence and nod. Do the same thing for why Sammy Watkins being targeted while Travis Kelce is covered isn't going to do the same thing, and I would sit here and nod in perfect silence. But I'm not arguing that this offense has nothing but number one options, but their number threes and fours and fives are better than anybody's. And so if the Patriots are good enough to limit ones and twos, you should be able to score with Mecole Hardman. And honestly, I say this thinking that we're going to get a little bit of that from Andy Reid and from this Chiefs offense. They've got issues to solve in the protection, in Mahomes' confidence in the pocket, in the weapons around him, and how they utilize all of those guys. And I do think it generally starts with Mahomes having time. But they have a real chance. This goes back to the reason that I started the show the way I did today. The Chiefs have a real chance to just set off some firecrackers in the national afternoon slot on Sunday. Everyone's going to want to see Chiefs-Patriots. Show them the extinction of the Patriots. Melt that organization down with a defense that people need to stop writing off as being subpar, with an offense that hasn't shown the firepower that we saw last year. I would love a 40-17 game. I'm not there, but I'm hopeful for that. And I want to see all these things we talked about offensively come together, because I think that they can. I think they probably should. And so I'm hopeful, while also not advising anybody to go throw all their money on the Chiefs winning this game by 30 or something. But it seems like they have the pieces, and it also seems like they have the right, the right constructor in Andy Reid. It's why some of this team's struggles have been so frustrating this year. The pieces on both sides of the ball have been there. We need to see it come together a little bit more. And what better opportunity than this one? I'm Josh Briscoe. It's some late-night Chiefs talk here on Sports Radio 810. We'll talk a little bit more whenever we come back right after this.
You're listening to the most powerful sports station in the country. Sports Radio 810, WHB Kansas City, the power of sports.
Welcome back into Sports Radio 810. One more segment with me, Joshua Briscoe, getting you ready for a weekend of Chiefs and Patriots. They don't play all weekend, but it kind of feels like they're going to. So I hope that this is helping to fire you up for a Saturday of continued prep and then a game day of, frankly, like high hopes, expectations, beliefs in this working out. I think if you're hopeful for this game, it's coming from a genuine, worthwhile place. One thing that's totally unrelated to Chiefs and Patriots and the thing I want to touch on in our last much shorter segment here is about Eric Bieniemy, actually. Listen to this audio. This is Randy Reid talking to the media back on Wednesday. And he was asked about Eric Bieniemy and his head coach aspirations. And he was interviewed by some teams last year. And this year he's come up, obviously, as Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson both were, not in that order, obviously, but offensive coordinators under Andy Reid typically go get head coaching jobs. I say those two, because I'm just looking at Kansas City. The Andy Reid coaching tree is a redwood. It is massive. He sends coaches across the NFL that are very heavily influenced by him, and obviously rightfully so. And so it seems to me quite likely that Eric Bieniemy gets a job somewhere else as a head coach in the NFL this offseason. And Andy Reid's answer here to this question I found striking. He was asked what he'd say if an owner called him and asked if they should hire Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, I'd say hire him, like right now. I mean, that's what I'd tell you. I don't want to lose him, but I mean, if you're asking me, is he ready to be a head coach? Yeah, he's ready. He was ready last year. I mean, you know, nobody's in more control than what he is within this game. So, and he's a leader of men, and he knows football, but he knows the offense like the back of his hand. You know, he's in the quarterback room every day, and I think if you talk to Patrick could tell you know, how much influence he's had on him. So,
I just thought that was really interesting. And a little window into what it's like to coach under Andy Reid, honestly. I mean, I just, there aren't a lot of places in the world, and much less in the NFL, where you say, you know what? Yeah, if somebody called me and said, hey, can I make your life harder for you? Can I take away the consistency in your organization here and turn that guy who is in some ways an employee of yours, this assistant to you, and a big-time assistant, but an assistant to you, can I take him, who actively makes your life easier and your offense better, in your opinion, and can I make him a competitor of yours? Should I do that? Should I make him compete against you as opposed to working for you? And for Andy Reid, just publicly there in that spot, obviously, it's not talking directly to an owner, but an owner could hear that. For him to go, yeah, you should do that. You should have done that last year. I don't want to lose him. I'd be bummed. But yeah, absolutely. That dude deserves this shot. That's cool, man. Wouldn't you want to work for that guy? If you're if you're Mike Kafka, I mean, he's obviously worked with Andy Reid before. But frankly, if you're anyone on that offensive coaching staff, if you're another potential offensive coach elsewhere in the league, and you see an opening somewhere in the Chiefs organization and you say, hey, could I get in here? Or should I be trying to get onto that staff? You hear audio like that, you should be on a plane before you have the interview officially booked. I mean, that kind of full-throated endorsement of someone who, again, you want to stay on your staff and keep making your product better. To say, no, hey, Browns, listen, you guys have a great situation over there. You got a lot of talent. Frankly, I hope you guys don't hire a good coach and get good, because this isn't a team that I really want to see a whole lot in the AFC. But yeah, if you guys call, I'm going to tell you, you should hire Eric Bieniemy. He'd do great stuff with Baker Mayfield and all that talent on offense. Yeah, you give Eric Bieniemy, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt in the backfield. Hell yeah. Absolutely, you should hire him. You'd be foolish not to. You were foolish not to last year, because he was ready for this job last year. That's cool. And you hear also a lot of times, you know, Andy Reid might be, he might be the definition of a player's coach, right? We hear that a lot. I don't know what it means. I don't know. I'm not an NFL player. I never have been one. And the implications around that typically are, you know, a player's coach is soft. A player's coach isn't going to, you know, get really bent out of shape about if you're a few minutes late to meetings, whatever. And frankly, I've never really heard anything like that about Andy Reid, for the record. But that's, you know, that's kind of the conventionalism for a player's coach, right? I think that's what a player's coach should sound like, you know? I'm not taking a check from Andy Reid here or anything, but like, when you have a guy that, again, will kind of endorse you on that level whenever it's directly making a competitor better, it seems pretty clear that that's the type of person that you'd like to work for, play for, whatever. And I think that kind of stuff really matters. I really do. I don't know if it makes it easier to get free agents often. I don't know if anyone ever takes a discount for it, but I know that I'm now, you know, retreading over the same dirt, saying the same thing three times over and over again. I just thought it was really cool. I thought it was cool. I thought it was interesting. And so there it is. That's what Andy Reid said about Eric Bieniemy this week. And I thought it was a nice peek into the mindset of Andy Reid and how he functions in space like that. So that's it for us, though, tonight here on Sports Radio 810. Thank you for listening with us late this evening. I'm Joshua Briscoe. You can follow me on Twitter at JB Briscoe. If you missed any of Almost Entirely Sports this week, you can check it out. Just search Almost Entirely Sports in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. It should be there. And if it's not, you can tweet me and say, hey, why isn't Almost Entirely Sports in this app? I'll get it there. It's also in the Sports Radio 810 mobile app and at 810WHB.com. If you missed any of tonight's show, it'll be up in all those places as well. So until Sunday, when I'll be back for the postgame show immediately following Chiefs and Patriots. Bye, Mom.
The most powerful sports station in America has a home in Kansas City. This is Sports Radio 810 WHB.